What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A very good Monday to you. Hope you had a good weekend. Nice to be with you. I am live in Southern California, as always. What's cracking? Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, then. Open phones in hour number one. I've got back-to-back interviews to start the second hour. I've got an interview in the third hour as well. So you want to jump in right now. Open phones to start hour one. Don't wait on my topics. Don't wait on my takes. If you know what you want to cover, you want to call right now. Adam Hawk is standing by. He's going to screen your phone call. He's going to ask you what you want to talk about. Make sure you have a good answer. 1-800-636-8686. Toll free in the U.S., in Canada. 1-800-636-8686. Start strong. It's going to be a big week. You can also hit me up on social at Jim Rome, Twitter, Instagram, and the like. And you can still email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, so the first hour is open. Coming up in hour number two, back-to-back interviews. As I mentioned, I've got Tom Haberstroh, top of the second hour to talk some NBA. Bob Melvin, manager of the A's at 10:20 Pacific. And then at the top of hour number three, we talk more about the Browns. Offensive lineman Chris Hubbard joins me in the third hour. In ATP on a Monday as well. All right, so starting right here. Sunday, June 28th, 2020, one of the most New England Patriot days in recent memory. Because they accomplished two things that are so on brand, it's painful. First, they agreed to a deal with Cam Newton at a rock-bottom price. Then, they were hit with a penalty for cheating. Again. Patriots, gonna Patriot. Let's start with Cam Newton. And the deal that made way too much sense from the beginning not to happen. According to Ian Rappaport, the deal was for 1 year and up to $7.5 million. That's 1 year, $7.5 million for a former league MVP. Now, granted, it is a former league MVP coming off a foot injury and a bum wing and a couple of down years. However, New England paid Antonio Brown roughly $9 million to show up for a game last year and embarrass themselves in the process. So to get Cam Newton at $7.5 million, even if you don't know exactly what you're getting, that's an unbelievable deal for the Pats. And for all the talk of Newton's injuries and all the talk of the hits he's taken over his career, this is not an old man. He just turned 31, not 41. He's still 15 months older than Taysom Hill. That's it. 10 months younger than Ryan Tannehill. So if you're a Patriots fan, how much more hyped are you today knowing that you could have a healthy Cam Newton as your starting quarterback? I mean, let's be real, right? Let's be honest. You were not that pumped about going from Tom Brady to Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer. I mean, you were really having to convince yourself into believing that that was going to be a good idea and that everything was going to be just fine. You had to work overtime to sell yourself on the notion that Jarrett Stidham, a fourth-round pick, who was thrown for 14 yards in his NFL career, was going to be the man. And he might be. He still could be. It's just now they've got a guy who's already been the man coming in, and he's coming in with almost no downside, almost no risk whatsoever. And he's got a giant freaking chip on his shoulder. So you've got a guy who turned in a pair of great performances against the Patriots as well. He's got a passer rating of 128.2 in those two games against Belichick. He rushed for more than 100 yards. He's undefeated against the Patriots. Now, Belichick's not dumb enough to base a contract on only two games from 3 and 7 years ago, but you know they made an impression. The only question to me about this deal is, what took so long? I mean, this has been sitting out there since March, so why didn't the Patriots jump on it then? Why didn't they move then? Obviously, they didn't have to, because nobody else made them, because the market for Cam Newton has been pretty quiet. Teams were concerned about his foot, and they couldn't get him in for a physical, so he just kept working out and posting workouts on Instagram, and then finally New England jumped in, and they made that deal. By all accounts, the plan was for Jarrett Stidham to be the starter this year. And if you went out to sign Newton to a big fat deal early in free agency, that could get in the way of figuring out exactly who or what Stidham is. But the reality of actually rolling with Stidham especially during these challenging and bizarre times, is you're putting a ton of faith into a guy who has barely played in the NFL. Now, you've got to look at a former league MVP as your starting quarterback, and he's playing for next to nothing. I mean, it really is a ridiculous deal. Not my words, Richard Sherman's. Sherm tweeted, quote, "How many former league MVPs have had to sign for the Min? Asking for a friend. Just ridiculous. A transcendent talent, and less talented QBs are getting $15-16 million a year. Disgusting." End quote. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. I mean, it really is that good of a deal for the Pats, especially when you consider the fact that Newton, if he does a good job, then he leaves as a free agent after the season, the Pats still get back a compensatory third-round pick. I mean, that's like the most Belichick thing ever, right? How Belichick? The most Belichick move. So, is it going to work? Who knows? No guarantee. Just because you can easily remember so many Belichick moves that did work with high-profile guys does not mean this is a lock. It doesn't mean it's going to work. Because not all of them do work. And Belichick's never had to do this with a quarterback before. A quarterback with an extremely strong personality who now has to fit into the Patriot way. A culture which kills individuality. Now, that's not to say that Cam Newton can't do it, but it's a legitimate question. I just know this much. The Pats are infinitely more interesting now than they were about 48 hours ago. Because about 48 hours ago, they weren't interesting at all. I think they're potentially a hell of a lot better now than I thought they were 48 hours ago. Because 48 hours ago, I didn't think they were a playoff team. Now, no disrespect to Stidham, which means he's about to get disrespected. But the Pats are a better team, and they're a lot more intriguing with Newton under center than they are with Stiddy. Especially if Newton is healthy, because we know he's motivated as hell. Just look at that Insta feed. Now, health is not the only question. There's also a question of fit. And there's no guarantee that Newton and Josh McDaniels will mesh perfectly, or that Newton's way and the Patriot way is going to be a great fit. After all, this is a guy who's thrown down some pretty incredible looks in press conferences and posts on social media in his own font. Not exactly the Patriot way. Not exactly just trying to blend in or fit in. Then again, this is one of the reasons why I like this guy so much. So I would hate if we lost the hats, and I would hate if we lost that indecipherable font. The only downside here is we might lose a guy who's been quirky in pressers and keeps it interesting on social. Other than that, I don't see a downside. Like, worst case scenario, he's not healthy, he fails his physical, then you really haven't lost that much. Or maybe he comes back and he's only barely better than Stidham. Doesn't set the world on fire, but then you get rid of him and he leaves after a year. Who cares? It's worth the shot. Nothing hurt. There's almost no risk, almost no downside. But the upside, if this guy's fully healthy, if it works, then you've got an elite NFL quarterback who's 31 and is playing for the greatest head coach of all time. You've got a guy who's one of the most physically intimidating quarterbacks in NFL history. A guy who can pass over you. A guy who can run over you. And he's doing it again for next to nothing. That's the Patriots. And that is the most Patriots thing ever. Well, aside from the news that they dropped, the news that did drop on the same day they got this guy, that they got slapped for cheating. That would be the most Patriots thing ever. Signing Cam Newton for walk-around money is the second most Patriots thing ever. The most Patriots thing ever is doing it on a day where they got slapped for cheating again. And again, why they were cheating, allegedly, with the Bengals, I will never know. 1-800-636-8686. In other words, I love that move. I love that move for him. I love that move for them. The most Patriots thing ever. No, the second most Patriots thing ever. All right, so where do you come out? All of a sudden, they are really interesting once again. 1-800-636-8686. Toll free. Hit me up on Twitter, also at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at havetake.com. Lots of other things to get to today as well, including the Jay Cutler update. Cuddy, the detective, looking out for his chickens. Had a bad weekend. My man had a bad weekend. I've got the update there. Big weekend for the UFC again. Fight night in Vegas went down, and once again, that delivered. I've got thoughts on that. Also, big golf weekend, which I will get to. One quick reminder, it is a getaway week for me. I'm in this week, then I'm off 2 weeks. So I'd love to hear from you now. 1-800-636-8686. So where does that leave the Patriots? Let's see the reaction. Going to your social, Sean Rohasek tweets, wore a Patriots-Bucks Super Bowl just for Twitter, InstaChat, and Snapface to melt down.
InstaChat, Snapface.
Well, the odds went down when Cam Newton was brought in. It's going to be interesting. Man, they're a hell of a lot more interesting now than they were a couple days ago. Hey, Romy, I'm sure Pat's fan is hoping their new quarterback performs more like Dustin Johnson at Travelers yesterday rather than the choke at the Open. Missing on a 12-foot putt for the win and then again on a 4-footer. Or as I like to call it, a cow in Vegas. Signing Cam does not affect the GOAT, though. I've got the tenderoni Aaron Rodgers winning the damn MVP this year and putting up a couple of 50 burgers, a.k.a. a Wells in the 360. Thanks, Nikki. Unwore dudes that can't time getting on an escalator. Looking at you, Rit. Damn, Nikki. Dear Jim, not surprised that Fox backed out of their U.S. Open contract. Joel Klatt and Joe Buck had as much business broadcasting golf as Rit does being a male model. Drew in West L.A., man, Rit's had a big morning already. Yeah, Fox did get out of that deal, and they had a lot of years left on that deal.
Finally.
Got James Kelly running the board today. Finally. The flight deck. Check him out. Bumping his own tune. All right, so if you want to get in, you want to do it right now. It's going to be tougher in hour number two where we go back-to-back at the top of the hour. Tom Haberstroh then, Bob Melvin also coming up next hour. Chris Hubbard of the Browns is coming up in hour number three. Never too soon to start thinking about that ATP, the Ask the Pros. What do you want to ask me? How was your weekend? What's cracking? Capital One knows that life does not alert you about your credit card. Hey, couch surfers. We've got nonstop tunes to keep you rocking while you work. Oh, and Colleen. Yes, you, Colleen with a K. Your free trial of Movie Plus ends tomorrow, and your card may be charged. Do you want to continue or do you want to cancel? Meet Eno, the Capital One assistant. Eno looks out for surprise charges, like when free trials expire, and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way that Capital One is watching out for your money when you are not Capital One. What's in your wallet? Limitations do apply. Capital One.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Interesting Monday. Like I'm looking through the glass, and what do I see on the other side? I see in the back row a bald sugar addict. What up, Britt? I see the big head, James Kelly, fitting in, slipping in for Alvin DeLauro, and then there is the EP, Adam Hawk, doing what he does. Whatever the hell it is he does. Hour number one, we are open. All right, so UFC Fight Night. Let me hit that really quickly before I go to your phone calls. Hey, listen, what do you want to talk about? We're in the middle of summer right now. I'm going to work this week. I'm off in the next 2 weeks. Bring it. Whatever you want to bring to me is fine. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so UFC Fight Night went down Saturday night in Vegas, and it delivered yet again in a lot of different ways. Like, it delivered weird, and it delivered awesome. Why don't we start with the weird? And that was Mike Perry. Before we even get into Saturday night, let's go back a few days to when Perry was doing phone interviews before the fight. He was not exactly down with that experience. And again, I know some of you, a lot of you, still do not get MMA, still are not into it. I'm trying to help you out here. I'm not saying you have to be. I'm just trying to get you to open your mind to this thing and to some of the personalities in the sport. Like Perry. Perry's a different dude altogether, a really different cat. And leading up to the fight, he was not really cool with what was being asked of him. Here's a quote transcribed by the great Kevin Ioli. This is what Perry said before the fight. Quote, "I get all these stupid bleeping questions, and it's like, I didn't come here to bleeping talk. Why am I even doing this bleep? I came here to bleeping fight and knock some bleep's head the bleep off." All right, so three expletives in one sentence. And he wasn't done. He had more about fighting and about life in general. And keep in mind, this is all before the fight. Quote, "Over the phone, I can't put my hands on your bleep. I get paid to go in there and fight. When I'm out spending that fight money, enjoying my life, nobody ever says bleep to me. They say hi, and they try to bleeping waste my time, asking for pictures and a bunch of other dumb bleep. If it's like a grown man, I feel like, I know you've been on social media talking bleep, boy." Well, it's how you should think, bro. People are out to get you. People want what you got. People want to take from you. They're miserable with their bum lives, and they want what you've got. End quote. Like, I already knew about this guy, and I already knew about him as a fighter, but if I knew nothing about that guy, or had seen him as a fighter, I'd already love that guy based on that take. That's countless expletives and a bum lives line. And the fact of the matter is, what he says is true. Almost all of that is true, and it's all outstanding. So, if you didn't know much about Mike Perry before Saturday night, now you know some more about Perry. And you knew that he was going into his fight against Mickey Gall with a two-match losing streak. And a very different corner. There's been a lot of talk lately about corners and whether or not they've been doing their job and looking out for their fighters. So, he went with a different corner coming off two losses in a row. Instead of bringing his coaches with him, he brought one person, his girlfriend, Latori Gonzalez. He had his girlfriend in his corner and no coaches. Why? Because he said the coaches never really helped him that much in the UFC anyway. This quote, "It's a fight, bro. It ain't no bleeping science class. Get in there, hit him in the bleeping face, and get out. If they take it, hit him again. And keep bleeping hitting them until the referee pulls me off. And you know what this time? I may not even stop when the referee pulls me off. He's talked all this time, and now it's fight time, and you want to be nice? To be friends? Come on, get out of here with that bleep. I'm still talking bleep. That's how I am. That's how I'll always be." End quote. All right, so he goes in there with his girlfriend in his corner. Took a lot of heat for that. A lot of heat. People were coming for Perry and his lady on Twitter. Even his opponent had thoughts. Gall told MMA Junkie, quote, "I don't think it's a very bright idea, but I don't think Mike's the brightest guy." End quote. I mean, this is already one of the best fights ever, and it hasn't even started yet. So, you might be wondering what it was like in the corner with only his girlfriend. Here's what it was like in his corner during the fight.
On my neck.
Doing
great. Oh, man. You good, buddy?
That's normal.
Hey, you look good,
man. Ah. You're doing good. You're doing great. I'm sorry that happened. You want me to ice it in here?
No, that is not creepy Ronnie T. Although it did sound like him. No, that was his girlfriend, Gonzalez. That is such a great exchange. She's applying ice and giving him feedback like, quote, "You're doing great." He responded with a, "You look great." This is what's going on in between rounds in the corner. Now, you might want to clown him, but as Sugar Sean O'Malley tweeted, honestly, better than a lot of corner advice. Sugar Show. Yo, Sugar, what up? Dude, we want you on this show, Suge, whenever you're ready. Bryce Mitchell was in as well. Quote, "A-plus corner work. Gangster bleep. Let's go, Mike." Perry's corner setup was so stripped down, he had to get his own water. but it worked. This guy flat out dominated Gall. He won a unanimous decision. He looked great doing it. And suddenly that decision to roll in with his lady looked pretty damn smart. And he gave credit to her for it. He said after, quote, "She did a great job. She kept it very simple. She shouted a couple of things during the fight, and I remember telling myself, okay, there you go. She's getting into it now." And she was like, "Keep your hands up." There was that one time he swung and it just missed, and she was like, "Get your hand back up." And I was like, "All right." End quote. So maybe this guy's onto something, right? Maybe he's onto something by having it stay quiet in the corner between rounds and not having guys yapping at him. Quote, "In the corner when she was rubbing the ice on me, she kept asking me, 'Hey, is this okay? What else do you want? What else can I do?' And she was trying to do more for me, and it was really cool just sitting there quiet and just thinking about how the next round was going to go." End quote. You crazy? Or crazy like a fox? Listen, I'm not sure that this can become a trend. In fact, I'm pretty sure they're not going to allow him to do that again. Normally, those coaches are there for a reason, and not just to give good advice, but they are licensed. They need to earn their way in there. There's a reason they're there. I mean, this is MMA, right? These guys take their lives into their own hands every time they get in that cage. So it was awesome. I loved it. I'm not so sure they're going to allow that, though, going forward. Just as I'm not so sure is to go as far as to say that he won that fight because of his corner. I'm going to say he won that fight because he was a better fighter. But it sure as hell didn't hurt him. It didn't cost him the fight like a lot of people thought it would. If you were watching that fight and you were looking to get down and you really weren't sure what to do or didn't know that much about either fighter, the second you heard that he had cleared out his coaches and put his lady in there, did you not hit Gall? Be honest. It didn't cost him. Well, that part didn't cost him. Something else did. When the fight was over, Platinum Mike Perry was not done fighting. This is why I love this guy. He won the fight convincingly, but when the fight was over, my man was not done. He beat Mickey Gall, and then he went looking for the IRS.
"I'm going to go put some things together. I got to pay some bills, pay some debts. I got to go talk to the tax folk and see if we can run that number down, because I believe I paid out, you know, over $100,000 last year between a couple different countries, and then they trying to hit me again at the end of the year. It's almost like I don't even fight for minimum wage sometimes. So, and look, I ain't trying to be one of these guys asking for more money. I'm not. I'm asking for the government to stop taking so much of this. So, you know what I mean? Like, something got to work out. Maybe we put in contract that the taxes is paid when Platinum gets paid. Like, when I get paid, that's it, y'all. That's my money. You don't give me money if you don't want me to spend it, and right. Then you're going to come back and ask me for something later.
Right.
That don't even make no sense. I'm right. Trying to wild out, bro. My tie's on the beach."
My tie's on the beach, yo. My tie's on the beach. Again, you're going to tell me, yeah, Rome, why are you talking about MMA all the time? Why? In part, because of stuff like that. My tie's on the beach. Don't give me money if you don't want me to spend it. I love how he's going with the approach that it's not his problem if he spends money. Don't give him money and not expect him to spend it, especially when he's earned that money. All right, that's not his problem. That is the IRS's problem. That's on you, Internal Revenue Service, not me. My tie's on the beach, yo. Man, Mike Perry, he's something else. My man is so weird, and weird is so good. In fact, in this case, weird is awesome. Weird is great. Mike Perry is just another reason why the UFC is awesome. Keep doing you, Mike. Keep doing you, Mike. There's so many amazing characters in that sport. So many amazing personalities. Like every time you tune in or turn on, you get something like that. Not something quite like that, because there's not another guy like that. But you get something every time you turn on. My tie's on the beach, yo. I feel you, Mike.
Don't try to wild out, bro. My tie's on the beach.
Seriously, do not try to wild out, bro. Do not try to wild out, bro. And stop giving me money if you don't want me to spend it. If you don't want me to spend it, stop giving it to me. This guy went in there with his girlfriend in his corner and no coaches. And it worked. I love it. I love it. My tie's on the beach. Where did he come out? Did you watch that? What do you think? 1-800-636-8686. And that wasn't even the main event. Dustin Poirier was great in the main event. And I've got thoughts on that fight, which I'll get to a little bit later on. Again, top of hour number two, I've got Tom Haverstraw, and then I've got Bob Melvin. So if you want in, you should call right now, 1-800-636-8686. Cam Newton, Patriot. You've got no thoughts on that. You have no reaction to that. You've got no take on that. I could do 3 hours on that. I love that move for him. I love that move for them. They're a hell of a lot more interesting. And the Hood played that thing perfectly, didn't he? When we come back, I'm looking for a good phone call to get this thing going. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, you know you can do that too. Chris Hubbard is coming up in hour number three. If you just want to say, hey, what's up, big head? Say it to the flight deck. Got his ass down here on short notice. Atta boy, James Kelly. Way to rally. We'll take this break, then we will come right back.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Monday is an ATP day. You ask the pros. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, better service. Incredible, man. Hey, Ritt, I'm going to read this exactly how it's written. I don't know who's responsible for this. Here's your ATP read. I'm just going to read this exactly as it's written. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better service. Rely on the pros at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm going to do that.
Mark it down.
Like I always do. Mark it down. Finally, ATP on a Monday. Alvy's out today. And of course, stuff starts to fall apart when Alvy's not here. Understandably. Make good, baby. Radio term. Make good. We will make good on that. Just know, you know the address. You know where to send it. Hit me up. All right, so really quickly, some reaction. Jamie in Green Bay tweets that Poirier v. Hooker fight on Saturday was amazing. After all the shots each of them ate, it's unbelievable that they both went the distance. End quote. They did. They both went the distance. Then they both went to the hospital. Amazing fight. Amazing fight. Many calling it the fight of the year. Dear James, I find Mike Perry's language unbecoming. Class it up. Signed Beauregard in Pacific Palisades. Unwar Joel Klatt. Man, I'll tell you what. A lot of you seem to be really happy that Fox is no longer in the golf business. And a lot of you are also coming for Joel Klatt. Let me tell you something. Joel Klatt is not the issue. Joel Klatt is a pro. He is a professional broadcaster. Of course, he's dominant on football. But I thought he did a nice enough job on golf. I mean, you're asking a guy to do something that he hadn't done before. Now, he's got a good stick. He plays. How do I know we belong to the same club? And that's not why I'm saying this. But it's pretty amazing to me that all of you are coming for this guy. Like, I understand why you never thought that was a really good fit, Fox and golf. I mean, understandably, that was kind of weird. But they tried. It didn't work. They signed the big deal. They tried. It didn't work. This is them admitting this is not what we do. This is not who we are. And now it switches over to NBC. Great. But man, some of you are partying. Partying. Hey, Rome Slice. I thought Joe Buck and Joel Klatt did a great job calling the U.S. Open. Regards, Dennis Miller calling Monday Night Football. Geoff and Lincoln. Again, I'm going to defend Joe Buck. That's a pro's pro. It's a Hall of Fame broadcaster. And he can do multiple sports. As far as Dennis Miller, you know, that was a decision they made to try and change things up. Also something I respect, instead of just going with a retread. Dear Jim, shocked to hear that NBC ripped the coverage of the U.S. Open back from Fox. Fox was doing such a great job. Signed, Joel Klatt verbally dry-humping the fence on 18 at Pebble Beach. Damn, Rex, really? Like, that's hilarious to me that Rex in the ABQ is going to accuse anybody of dry-humping anything. When Rex does what he does every time he calls this show. All right, that's, to me, not a thing. It's interesting that they got out of that deal without much time left on that deal. That's curious. But to me, that's Fox admitting, like, man, this is not what we do. We're not that good at this. We do a lot of things really well, but golf's not one of them. So they made their decision. They gave it a shot. It didn't work. They got out. Keep moving. Keep moving or keep doing what you clones do. Accusing people of dry humping things. You have your telephone number. It is toll free. You know where to find me on social. It's at Jim Rome. You know where to email me as well. Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. In the meantime, the question on everybody's mind, leaving work on Friday and waking up this morning was, and pretty much still is, would Detective Cuddy and the hunt for the chicken killers jump the weekend? And the answer in one word is yes. The answer in two words, hell yes.
Hell yes!
Now, I did make a promise on Friday that as long as Jay Cutler was still on Instagram updating the chase, then I would still be on the air covering this topic. Because, frankly, it's been nothing short of riveting. It's compelling. If you're new to the murder mystery, Jay Cutler's chickens at his Nashville farmhouse have been getting eaten at night by an animal that Cuddy simply cannot catch. So Cuddy's gone to work. He set up a camera. He borrowed military-grade night vision goggles. He roped his neighbor Mark into it. He brought in an alpha rooster named Blue. But still, nothing had worked through Thursday night. And then we go into the weekend. And then things went from bad to worse over the weekend. And that's what I'm here to update right now. You know the old saying about losing the battle but winning the war? Yeah, well, that doesn't apply here. Cuddy is getting absolutely run through a wood chipper in both the battle and the war. It's not going well for our hero. Friday night, Smoke and Jay decided to leave some raw chicken bait in the coop in an attempt to lure in the murderer, as if the chickens weren't bait enough. And it worked. It did work. The bait, that is. But his camera didn't. So unfortunately, when Cuddy woke up on Saturday morning, the bait was gone, but there were no photos, no video evidence of what came through for that free midnight snack. Fail. Cuddy, beaten again, as he described needing to up his game on his Instagram stories on Saturday morning.
Okay, here's the deal. Let's be honest. The culprit's been 3 to 4 steps ahead of me this whole time. While this morning was pretty devastating, it was also a wake-up call. Time to quit playing around. So tonight, 5 cameras are out. Got to have good news in the morning.
All right, so the guy's fighting a losing battle right now. You know, that's often the case, right? The bad guys are always a few steps ahead of the good guys trying to run them down. That's the case here. Quote, the culprit has been 3 to 4 steps ahead of me this whole time. Time to quit playing around. So tonight, 5 cameras are out. That's what he said. 5. I don't know, yo. 5 cameras? I'm not going to lie. Our studio doesn't have 5 broadcast cameras, let alone 5 security cameras. Hell, I don't think my house has 5 cameras. And my house is bigger than this studio. Yet this dude's going to have 5 cameras out there. 5 cameras. He's just going to reach into his junk drawer and pull out 5 cameras to try to run down that chicken murderer before there's another chicken massacre. And with that many angles, my man could splice together an Oscar-worthy movie with multiple vantage points and cutaway shots if and only if he actually can get something on tape this time. So now we're on day 4 of the manhunt. And Cuddy is getting worked so badly that even he starts to doubt what he's saying. Check out this clip now from Saturday afternoon as he's preparing the 5 cameras.
You know, tonight's the night. I don't really believe that, but you gotta fake it till you make it, so just trying to stay positive.
Tonight's the night. I'm trying to stay positive. Fake it till you make it. I mean, he admitted it. I'm trying to stay positive. You can tell he doesn't really believe. You can tell he's rattled. You can tell his confidence is shaken. But you got to keep grinding. So he baits the coop again, sets up nearly a half a dozen cameras, only to wake up and find the bait is gone, and all he has to show for it this time is one blurry photo of what could be any animal at all under the sun. So it was no help to anybody. And he posted that picture, and he wrote the following, quote, five cameras. Four didn't work after I spent an hour putting in batteries. I tested them three times. So, Cuddleback cameras, you're fired. You're off the mission. I'm going to regroup for the second time in 24 hours. I need a coffee. End quote. Home Slice is unraveling. This dude's coming unglued. He just fired a camera manufacturer on Instagram, aired them out on social, aired them out by name, and he called for his second regroup in just 24 hours. This guy's already hitting the reset button again. And to make matters even worse, he walked around to his front yard and he saw what looked like a pillow factory explosion. Feathers freaking everywhere. Sprayed all over the grass as far as the eye could see. So not only did the murderer eat some bait in front of his non-operative cameras, but it also ate some live chickens too. The massacre continues. And styled the murder by leaving feathers all over Cuddy's property. My man is having a weekend and not a good one. This is Cuddy on Sunday afternoon.
Okay. We're obviously under attack. Front yard, backyard, daylight, nighttime, morning. We gotta stop the bleeding somehow. We're gonna go with some live cages tonight, see if we can't trap something. Probably have to go night vision in the front. It's just, we've lost control completely, and somehow we gotta regain it.
Like I said, my man is fighting a losing battle. I mean, have you ever heard anybody so despondent? Quote, we're under attack. We gotta stop the bleeding somehow. We've lost control completely, and somehow we gotta regain it. End quote. It's like, the more he does, and the harder he tries, the worse it gets, and the more the death toll starts to pile up. But you heard him in the clip. He's going to try something new. Some trap cages to capture the killer, and to somehow get this thing right and win the war. So yesterday afternoon, he posted a photo of four different trap cages right outside the coop. It was a literal minefield for any animal looking to get after the chickens. Felt like this guy finally got control. Advantage, Cuddy. So naturally, I set the alarm extra early this morning, hoping to refresh the feed to see a victorious Cuddy smoking a well-earned heater, standing above the culprit. Instead, what I see is a depressing photo of Cuddy posted of a knocked over cage with a caption which read the following, quote, we have a worthy adversary. The trap was knocked over and dragged. Nothing in it, clearly. I will be spending the day learning how to trap. I guess this can't continue. It just can't. End quote. So whatever the hell it is that is murdering Jay's chickens is also murdering this guy's spirits. It's snatching his soul. That animal, or whatever it is, got over again. It escaped a trap cage. Man, it's still very much on the loose. This guy is getting his ass kicked. And everybody's seeing it. It can't be beat. Dude, it cannot be beat. Alpha roosters, neighbors, night vision goggles, cameras, bait, traps, coyote calls. Nothing can stop this savage. Nothing. The savage is getting over. And yet, Cuddy, man, he's doing everything he can to stay in that fight, right? Doing everything he can not to let go of the rope, to stay in the fight, to stay on the path. I credit him for that. The question is, how much more does this guy have left? How much more stamina do you think this guy has? Cuddy looks like he's aged 50 years in the last 5 days alone. And whatever is killing his chickens is now just messing with him, just toying with him right now. I mean, I'm locked in. I'm locked in because he's still locked in, but I'm wondering how long this guy can keep this up. I'm starting to fear that we are tilting towards a forfeit. Like this guy, I know that athletes are taught never, ever quit. Never, ever, ever quit. I just wonder how long this guy can go. I mean, it's a game of matchups, right? It is a chicken murder is a game of matchups. And Cuddy is outmatched. This is a bad matchup for him right now. Either way, I'm not giving up on the guy, but I am losing faith. But as long as he keeps the updates coming, I will do so also because this is still the best show on TV right now. It's the best TV show right now, which is happening on your phone. Godspeed, Jay. Godspeed. I'm not here to hate, bro. I'm really not. But I'm starting to lose faith. At Scrabbled Eggs 88 tweets. Romy, so you're telling me that Jay Cutler is up against an opponent that is beating him repeatedly and is three or four steps ahead of him. Has anyone questioned Charles Woodson? Charles Woodson, what the hell has he got to do with it? Yeah, I don't think that's come up. What are your thoughts? I'm kind of curious what it is. It's got to be a possum, right? No, D'Angelo Hall did not intercept the five cameras. Wise asses. I love D'Angelo Hall. Love the guy. All right, so when we come back, hour number two. Like, what do you think is going on here? Is this guy just trolling us? Or is the possum or whatever it is that much better and that much smarter? We're coming right back. Interviews with Tom Haberstroh and Bob Melvin are next.